Today at 12 o'clock noon in Washington, D.C., Barack Obama is inaugurated for a second term. I read one estimate that 800,000 people are expected to be attending or to be in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. It's America's 57th presidential inauguration ceremony at the Capitol. Our 8th District Congressman Mike Rogers will be in attendance. Congressman Rogers is chair of the House Select Committee on Intelligence and represents Michigan's 8th. Really pleased you made time for us this morning.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before the pomp and circumstance of the inaugural ceremony here, is there anything you can update us on this morning regarding the Algerian tragedy? Where do we stand here first thing Monday morning?
Yeah, we are still going to have to sift through the information we're getting. It was a very remote facility. It was a long way from Algiers, the capital of Algeria, and it was closer to the Libyan border in the middle of no place. So, and the Algerians didn't really want the United States or London or Paris or Tokyo to be at the site while they were conducting their operations. So,
do you respect that decision?
It's not the way we would have done it. Now, but Algeria is in a very different circumstance, and their belief was if they let this thing go on for any length of time, they were putting the price on the head of every Algerian and every foreign worker who works in what is their single largest revenue producer, and that's natural resources, natural gas and oil. And so they believed they had to quickly bring this to an end, and they didn't want to negotiate with all the foreign nation capitals about how they proceed. So they decided they were going to get it done. Now, that means that their tolerance for the survival of the hostages was much less than we would do. And so, you know, it's a decision I think they believe they had to make. It unfortunately was a lethal one for a lot of people, but they believe that it sent a very powerful message to Al-Qaeda and others who are in the business of taking hostages.
In the end, do you wish that Algeria would have taken the United States up on its offer for assistance?
I wish they would allowed our capabilities to show up and go in. If they were going to make the decision to go in, it would have been great to have some very battle-tested, operation-tested special forces units that are designed for just this kind of an operation, and lots of experience at it. So even though I think the outcome may have been improved just because of the operational quality of the individuals, but... clearly I wish they had done that. I think we would have had a better outcome for the number of hostages that were killed in the operation.
How good is America's intel regarding North Africa right now?
Well, it's not where it needs to be. And we do have lots of threat information and had. Part of the problem was the administration's been a little bit of ignoring of the problem growing in Northern Africa. So you have from Mali to southern Algiers, western Libya, Tunisia, now down into Niger in the south, and clearly in Mali. You have Yemen, which is where Al-Qaeda is was holding ground. So it is a growing, dangerous part of the world that we are going to have an overarching policy to handle. You can't do it like a firefighter and say, we'll just deal with Mali. We'll just deal with the hostage situation in Algeria. We'll just deal with Benghazi. It doesn't work that way. It's very fluid. Lots of weapons moving around, lots of bad people moving around, and it's something we're going to have to get a handle on.
Can you comment on the appropriate level of American involvement in that part of the world, or is that part of the policy statement that you just made a second ago? It just needs to be a part of comprehensive policy discussion.
Yeah, and it should be. I don't believe we have to have big boots on the ground there at all to accomplish what we need. A great example is the French have asked us for some help. We've given them a little bit. I would give them all of the intelligence capability that we have, and we have a whole list of things that we could provide to them that we haven't quite done. And a French victory against Al-Qaeda in the north of Mali is to the national security interests of the United States. So we don't have to have boots on the ground. We don't have to join them on the ground. But there are a plenty of capabilities that we ought to provide to them, intelligence packages, other types of capabilities that can, I think, quicken their victory over them. And what we don't realize is every victory that they have serves to recruit more people to their cause, and they being Al-Qaeda. And so they're advertising that they're putting the hurt on the French and the Malians. They're advertising that this hostage taking was a victory for them. Even though everyone was killed, it's a victory for them. They had lots of headlines. It was a big splash. It was a politically designed. In other words, before they would ransom for money, this was a change of strategy. They wanted to make a political splash and push back on the French effort against the Malians. So there's a whole host of things we can do short of boots on the ground, and I argue that's what we should be doing.
Is drone technology possibly a weapon there?
Well,
drone technology.
Well, I think airstrikes have been a powerful tool in helping keep Al-Qaeda leadership from having the comfort to design, finance, train, and implement terrorist operations against the United States. So I would use, again, all of the capability that we have in order to bring a quick victory for not only the French and Mali, but to break the back of the groups that think now they can have these big, brazen, emboldened hostage-taking events that I argue are destabilizing to the region and certainly add risk to our national security.
Let's change gears here and talk about the ceremony today in Washington. This is your fourth. How far from the president and from the Chief Justice will you be today?
Oh, probably 15 yards, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really quite an experience. When you look out, there's a sea of people. All the way back to the Washington Monument, and it is really an incredible thing. And I have been to some pretty awful places, you know, the tribal areas of Pakistan and Afghanistan and Yemen and all of those. And you look at all of those problems they have without transfers of government and tanks in the street, and you look down, and this is the most powerful nation in the world, despite our difficulties, and to see a peaceful transfer of power. When people are still politically divided in this country is an amazing thing, and we should never take it for granted. It is really a powerful thing.
You're in your office right now looking out on the mall. Is that it?
I am in my office. Look, I have a view, kind of a view. If I push my face against the window, I can see the Capitol, but I got to really push hard. And then what we'll do is we'll move over to the House floor here in about a half an hour, and then we'll convene for the House, for the swearing-in, and then we'll move to outside where the actual swearing-in ceremony is, which overlooks the mall.
Very good. Let's get back to issues here. The status quo regarding gun control and regulation is under really intense scrutiny and calls for reform right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you enjoy a pretty high rating from the NRA for your defense of gun rights. Are you actively reassessing any past positions on gun control in the aftermath of the Newtown tragedy and the president's proposals last week?
Sure. I was disappointed in the president's proposals. When you look at what happened in Newtown, so you had an individual who had obviously severe mental illness issues steal his weapons from someone else, kill his mother. They were his mother's weapons. Then drive down to the school and kill the children. If you look at all 23 recommendations, not one would have stopped Newtown, not one. And I argue the debate is wrong. Our national debate should be, and if you look at the Gabby Gifford shooting, the Colorado shooting, the Newtown shooting, there is one thing, and by the way, the 23 would have stopped none of those events, not one. What is the one thing, as an old FBI agent, I'm always about trying to get to the bottom of every issue, and it's this mental health. Each one of them either had interaction with police or mental health officials, all of which expressed concern about the behavior and issues that these people had, and we had no mechanism to intervene in their life in any way that would have prevented any of these events. If we are honest about how to solve this problem, that's the debate we should have. And it's a hard one. It's not an easy one. But that's the debate we should have. And all of this other stuff might make us feel good. It will have absolutely no impact on the next mental health issue when somebody gets a hold of somebody else's guns. There are 300 million guns in this country already, and does something equally as bad as what happened in Newtown. And so that's been my argument, is how do we change the debate finally to talk about the issue that we know will make an impact for these families, these kids in our country.
We're down to under a minute, Mike. From a strictly legislative point of view, the mental health changes seem to be given the best odds of passage for several reasons. What are the politics of at least moving the mental health piece forward?
Oh, I hope so. And, you know, I can get to background checks. I can do that, no problem. It's this mental health issue that we have to push, and I'm not sure it's strong enough. Hopefully what we'll do is go through what's called regular order to get a mental health package that we all can stand behind. I think we can do it. I believe we can do it, and I believe we should do it.
Interestingly, there's some Senate Democrats that are in from more conservative states that might hang this process up, too, legislatively. We've got to end on that note. I wish we had booked more time with you, but enjoy the day, and we look forward to having you back on Current State real soon.
I look forward to being back. Thanks so much.